Bibles to Revelation 19. I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do tonight, but we're going to try to pick up on what we're dealing with in judgments, but we'll not get to the judgment I'm trying to get to tonight, but I will give you one that we'll not say too much about because the Bible doesn't say too much about it, but it's there, so we will look at that in a few moments. But Revelation 19, I'm just trying to look, see where I want to read, but let's just read start verse 1. I just like these verses as it starts out. Let's stand, please. And after these things, after what things? He said, after these things. After the things of Revelation, he's been talking about from starting with chapter 6 right on down through the tribulation as he deals with tribulation and all that goes with that. And it is be a time of such trouble as never has been and on this earth. And today we're hearing about different things happening, storms, earthquakes, oil spills, all that kind of stuff. We haven't heard anything yet. Like it's going to be in tribulation period and what is coming. But I'm glad the church is going out before tribulation comes in. But we may see a prelude, and I believe we are seeing a prelude to that. And I'm not neither am I a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I do believe that we can see by Scripture that these things are prelude to what he said would come in the last days. And so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as it was in Lot's day. And so we're seeing these things today. And they're talking about some kind of a gay right parade or something, all this stuff. May the Lord help us in these days that we'll keep our eyes on Jesus and realize the fact and the truth. If we're not careful, we'll be maybe not sucked in totally, but mentally, there'll be some areas of our lives we'll begin to have sympathy for. Begin to think, well, you know, that it's not so bad. It's not so bad after all that they're trying to get. I want you to know that the Bible's still true. And what God calls sin is still sin. And God has not changed his mind one bit about it and still hates sin. And I just thought I'd toss that in. And then in tribulation period after the church is gone, Revelation 4 and 5, you have that picture in heaven and what's going on there and the praise that goes on and Jesus taking that seal book and so forth. But all the praises unto Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Then the tribulation period per se, the coming Antichrist and what happens there. And then in verse number 19, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. I just want to pause there and say hallelujah. Hallelujah in place down here. It's in place over there. And I believe we'll forever be saying hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. We've been talking about judgments now. True and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't know about amen and hallelujah. Boy, they get you going in heaven pretty good. Amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And there's a message in itself. He said, praise ye, praise our God, all ye servants. I believe that's true for heaven and earth. I believe in heaven he's telling them to praise him. I believe he tells us down here to praise him. And give him praise. He's worthy of all of our praise that we shall ever give him. And then he said, I heard as a voice, verse 6, I heard a voice of a great multitude, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I say hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent, all powerful, he reigns. Now we see in these next few verses a marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the bride of Christ. That is the church. And we haven't seen the church since Revelation chapter 3, the end of that chapter, except in chapter 4, verse 1. I believe we see it in type. and the door being open, the voice saying, come up hither. But then we come down to verse number 11. And I want you to see this. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he did judge and make war. Now I pause there to say this. In chapter 6 of Revelation, you saw a white horse coming with a rider, had a bow and no arrows. That's a picture of the Antichrist, not the Christ, but Antichrist, coming and peaceably. And he comes in crying, peace, peace. He comes in looking like a peacemaker, looking like he is doing well, look like he's going to help the world. Looks like that. Comes in like that. But our God, our Christ, he's coming in the air to rapture us out. Then the 7-year tribulation period. Then verse number 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. In righteousness, judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And I want to pause there and say thank God for that vesture dipped in blood. And I believe in his own blood. The vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll stop reading there. We'll read some more in a moment, but right now we're going to pray and ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the privilege we've had tonight to be in the house of God and just to hear and feel and enjoy your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for challenging our hearts already. I thank you for showing us Calvary, as it were. I thank you tonight for the testimonies given and the sweet singing. I praise your name and thank you, Lord, for what you did for us at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. I thank you, Lord, for what you did. I thank you for what you're doing in hearts and lives right now. And I pray in these days, Lord, you challenge us as your children. Encourage hearts. And I pray help us keep our eyes on you and not be affected by the world and the world's thinking and their philosophy. But help us, Lord, to remember their philosophy is vain and void. But, Lord, your word is truth and eternal and forever settled in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the end of the book that you've shown us what will come. And I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us now tonight for a few moments, share a few thoughts, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want us, as we see this in Revelation, and I'm giving you, tonight we're going to talk about the judgment of the nations, and then I'm working my way up trying to get to the great white throne judgment. That's where I really want to get to. Won't do it tonight, I know that, but we're moving in that direction. And we talked about the judgment of Revelation of the tribulation period. It is a time of the wrath of God. I want you to remember that, the time of the wrath of God poured out upon this world. This world tonight thinks it's getting by. And the world has a mentality that everything's going to continue right on as it is, and that they'll just go on in sin and keep going deeper, and everything's going to be all right. But how foolish they are to miss what God says and how God sees it. And so we tonight are looking at what God says and how God sees it. And I read you some hallelujahs because I wanted you to know that what we're looking to right now is the coming of Christ Jesus in rapture. But after that, it's darkness and gloom and doom. And somebody said, you're a preacher of gloom and doom. I am, because gloom and doom is coming. But thank God for the hallelujahs that's coming also. Gloom and doom's not all there is to it. Hey, more to it than that. We're looking for an upcoming homecoming. Amen. And Brother Lewis said it, and I'll say it again. Let's check up, make sure we've checked in so we can check out. I like that. Amen. Because I checked up, found out I already checked in. I'm ready to check out and head out of here. Rapture's coming. Jesus is coming. We're going home and be with him. And I say, praise God. After the rapture, then the tribulation period. and the wrath of God. That's judgment of Almighty God, but that's not the end of his judgment. Then the hallelujahs come in chapter 19, and the bride, the marriage of the Lamb, that great supper. And I have a picture in my office of that table set. It's an imaginary picture that somebody has painted, but we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But there's going to be a marriage supper in heaven. Hallelujah. And you're talking about a homecoming and a great time together. And we're looking forward to the great time in glory in that. And then after that, then the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, my Savior and your Savior, my Lord and your Lord. Look what it says about him in verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Said he had another name was written that no man knew, not only himself. But here it tells us what these names are written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to know tonight he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. There is none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all in all. Then notice verse 17. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now we're talking about the marriage supper. Here's another supper. And this supper is a supper of judgment of God upon the ungodly. And that you may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses, etc. Talking about that. Said in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Talking about the white horse that we just read about coming out of heaven where Jesus sits on. King of kings and Lord of lords coming on a white horse. You say, preacher, you believe that? That's what the Bible says. And I believe he's coming back just like he said he was. And coming with a great army behind him. And the Bible said about the rapture, where he is, there we shall be. If he's in heaven, we'll be in heaven. If he's coming back, I'm coming back. If he's going to set up a kingdom, I'm setting up with him. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We shall ever be with him. And so he's coming with an army. And they're not going to fight. He's going to do all that. He's going to take care of that. And here the beast, a false prophet, all that, they think they're going to fight against him. And the beast, that's the Antichrist. And verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Now pause there to say this. You say today nobody take the mark of the beast, number 666. Nobody take that. And you say, explain that. I don't know that I can explain that number. I know it's a number of man. And I know the number 6 is a number of man. And I know that there's 3 of them. And I know that the devil tries to imitate the Trinity of God. And I do know there will be a mark taken so you can trade in that day. And people say, well, people won't do that. When they get hungry and they can't buy nor sell, they'll line up to take the mark. And they will in that day, except some that are going to believe the truth and turn away from it, and some will die and be martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see this tonight, that beast taken, the Antichrist taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he had deceived them, had received the mark of the beast, them which worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now I want you to get that. The Antichrist, the false prophet, they're cast in the lake of fire that burns. You're going to hear about them later. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Here's that great supper at the end. And Jesus comes in glory and power, comes with an army from heaven, but he does all the fighting. He, with his power, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, a flaming sword, and he destroys all the armies that are come against him, the fight against him, and there he wins. Here's a great battle of end time. And I want you to, but turn back with me into Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter number 25. We'll come back to Revelation 20 in just a moment, just for a thought. Then I'll be finished. But in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 31, I want you to see this. Jesus has come back in power and glory. The armies of the Antichrist have been destroyed. Antichrist and the false prophet cast in a lake of fire. And Jesus getting ready to set up a kingdom. Notice verse number 31, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. That's what we're reading about. And all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Here's a judgment of the nations. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those kingdoms, those that have, and in this judgment of the nations, he goes on, talks about fed and feeding the hungry and the thirsty. So he's dealing with those that were good to Israel, to those that had sympathy and tried to help Israel. And you read in Second World War about those who would hide those Jews that were running from the Nazis, and they would hide them so they couldn't find them and take them away. And you've read books about that. You've heard stories about that. And many did that. But here are the nations that I pray that America will never turn her back upon Israel. If we ever turn our back on Israel, we're in trouble, sure enough. And there have been some indications, hints toward that. And some politicians would like to see us just cut Israel off and forget her and let her go. But I can tell you right now, the day that America turns her back totally on Israel is a sad day in America's history. And whether it happens in my lifetime or not, I don't know. I don't know if it happened. I can't give you the time period of all this, exact timing of it. I just know it's near at hand. I just know that you and I need to be paying attention and watch for the up. Keep one eye toward heaven, one earth toward earth, keeping busy for God down here, but looking for him to come. But I do know this, Antichrist's end, I'm glad I read the end of the book. I know who wins, and we are on the winning side. Amen. And Jesus Christ won at Calvary and cried, it's finished. And he's just fallen through with that. And then after the tribulation period, this judgment on the world's poured out then on sin. And then he comes in glory. His wrath is poured out upon the Antichrist and the false prophet and the armies. And then he judges the nations and set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. And the ones on the right, he'll say, enter in with me into my kingdom. He's setting up a kingdom for 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times in the book of Revelation chapter 20. And it's Latin for it means 1,000. And that 1,000-year millennium reign is yet to come. It is yet to come. But the judgment of these nations will take place. And we're talking about judgments now. We talked about judgment at Calvary. We talked about judgment of us saved in this world in chastening of God. We've talked about the judgment of that. We've talked about the fact that judgment of saints, but judgment will come of sinners during tribulation. Then, and I want you to look with me in chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20 in book of Revelation. Judgment seat of Christ, I was trying to say a while ago, missed it. But the judgment seat of Christ, judgment of Calvary, judgment of chastening of saints, and then judgment seat of Christ for the servants of God. And not to see if we go to heaven, but this rewards or lose rewards. And then the judgment, God's wrath poured out, then the judgment on the Antichrist. But then I want you to see the judgment, the nations be judged, and he sets up a kingdom. But look at verse number 1 of chapter 20 of Revelation. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and laid hold on the dragon. Now I want you to listen how the Holy Ghost moved upon John to write about the devil. He said, laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You remember he came in the Garden of Eden as a serpent, in the form of a serpent, and deceived Eve. Here he's going to be bound, and he's called that old serpent. And he's bound, and he was deceiving Eve and binding her in sin. But here he's bound, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And here we find Satan being bound and cast into the bottomless pit, and he's chained for 1,000 years. I say hallelujah. Wouldn't you like, well, we are going to be, I start to say, wouldn't you like to be living? We will be living with him here on this earth for 1,000 years with Satan bound. Satan not loose. There'll be no gay pride marches in that day. Amen. Amen. There aren't going to be any of this Hollywood crowd of all this dirt and filth and junk. Amen. Going to be none of that. Not going to be in these billboards with nakedness and all that shown around. Ain't going to be none of that. And that day, Satan will be bound. Won't be in Budweiser trucks running. One preacher said Bud Dumber. Amen. And it's not Budweiser, Bud Dumber. It's not Miller High Life. It's Miller Low Life. And all that, that's true, that's right. Ain't gonna be any of that. In that day he shall rule and reign, and knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters that cover the sea. I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad, hallelujah. I'm anxious to see living in a day and a time when the devil's bound and right, God's known all over the world and everybody's bound worshiping. And they come up to Jerusalem, bring the nations up and worship him. And we're the bride. He's the bridegroom. And he's the king. Hallelujah. That makes us a queen. And we just get to be with him forever. But that 1,000 years of honeymoon. Amen. And reign with him on this earth. I say glory, hallelujah. What are we going to be doing preaching? I don't know. Talk about some ruling over 5 cities, some 10 cities. I don't know. He may send you somewhere, take care of a city somewhere. He may send you somewhere, bring somebody up. And he may have you just there with him, just shouting glory, hallelujah, bowing to him. I don't know what all we're going to be doing. But I promise you this. It's going to be glory on earth. It'll be heaven on earth. Amen for us. We'll be in glorified bodies. We won't even be confined to this old body. We'll be glorified body. And I believe we'll be able to think where we want to be and be there. Amen. I do. I believe Jesus appeared and disappeared in the glorified body because he thought where he wanted to be and he was there. Walking alongside those disciples by Emmaus. They were walking along. They didn't see him coming, but all of a sudden he's there. And then he eats with them and then unfolds the scriptures on his way. Then when he gets ready to leave, that's a blessing, and then he's gone, and they're wondering where he went. Amen. And so I'm glad going to be in a glorified body. Hallelujah. And you're talking about oil, needing oil or getting alternative for energy and all that. We'll have the energy. Amen. It'll be built in. And praise God for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That excites you? No, we're going to reign for 1,000 years with him. And I praise God for that. And I'd like to go on with that, but I better stop there because folks been here since 6 o'clock, some of those kids. But I'm telling you tonight, it's good to know you're saved and know that he's the judge and know how it ends up, how it winds up. I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's going to be a judgment of the nations and the judgment of the Antichrist and the judgment of the false prophet, and the old devil himself going to be bound for 1,000 years, and we're going to reign with Christ. I say hallelujah. Father, thank you for thy word. Seal it to our hearts. Help us do what we need to do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking but myself and God. I wonder tonight, and I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I am not going to come to anybody personally. I'm not going to, unless the Holy Ghost just directly told me to. I have to be careful what I say I'm not going to do because God may say something to me. I have to do otherwise. But if God does, you can rest assured God's getting ready to do something. But I just like to ask you a question. How many of you know that you've checked up and found out that you've checked in and you're ready to check out? Would you hold your hand up high for the glory of God? I'm saved. No, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you another question tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody here tonight say, preacher, I have a spiritual need in my life. I just want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. 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 Father, you saw the hands that went up. You know the needs they have. I pray for them, and I ask you in Jesus' name, touch their lives, meet their needs, and I pray, Father, you to hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.